Name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality edition. In this first hour, we're going to just talk about current events, news items, and whatever comes to mind. And in the second hour, since I finished up the Beast Apocalyptic last week, I really don't have anything lined up for this week, but I'm sure we have a few prophecy topics. So it's kind of open. So if anyone wants to add any topics, questions, comments, something they'd like to know something about or ask a question about or propose having to do with prophecy, well, we can discuss that really anytime during this two-hour broadcast, but pretty much try to confine that to the second hour. Okay, let's see, our first item is, Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, and the word there means to be of the people of God. Yahudah would be the name of the people of God, the people called by his name. That's what the real meaning of a Jew is, but especially in the context here of Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So I've had a conversation with some people this week, and they are contending that those people that are called Jews over there living in Israel today, that they are God's chosen people. Yeah, I wish they'd read their Bibles, and I give them verses like this, but they're undeterred because they really don't care what the scripture says. They only care what they've taught and what they believe because they're certain they're right and they could never be wrong. Yes, but they certainly can't show me that what they're contending in the scripture itself. Okay. News items. I guess we'll start there with news items. And let's see what I have in my mailbox here. Well, I do have some headlines. These are Lou Rockwell headlines. Always good headlines. I really don't want to talk about the transhuman jab because we cover that. And you should listen to First Amendment Radio, especially in the afternoon when we have David Knight on. Okay, David Knight. We play his broadcast between 2 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 3, 4, 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you can get his latest broadcast there every day, and we play it out. And, everything you could want to know about current events, and especially what is most current and what is most important, is the New World Order takeover that is going on, and the transhuman jab. And I'm going to use the word transhuman jab because it is an Antichrist Borg transhuman jab. That's my long name for what they're doing to us, is the Antichrist Borg transhuman jab, because they want to change everybody into something else. Even getting some pushback from places that you would not expect. So I have this one article here. This one here is found interesting. Vatican court judge slams Gates and Soros for using COVID to impose total control. And a German cardinal has sparked controversy by claiming that the coronavirus pandemic has been used by the likes of George Soros and Bill Gates to create a global surveillance state. Yeah, what greedy, greedy, wicked men they are to use such a catastrophe that's hit the planet Yes, to use their billions of dollars to take advantage of the situation so that they can gain total control of the planet. Yes, a little bit of deflecting there going on. Perhaps this German cardinal doesn't, you know, I think most people that are in it can't see it. You know, the greatest apostasy the world has ever seen, that has ever existed. I mean, now 2 billion strong, people still want to argue with me about it being the greatest apostasy the world has ever seen. I don't know. Is there another 2 billion plus apostasy out there? I don't think so. And plus, their control goes beyond the 2 billion that are prescribed, you know, to their great apostasy. It goes beyond it because their reach is so much greater because of the control over the whole world and all of the governments of the world that they have through their shadow operatives. Speaking of the greatest apostasy, the Antichrist and his shadow government, of course. But this article continues. The COVID-19 pandemic has sparked chaos and turmoil, stemming not only from lacking knowledge about the transmissibility and danger of the V itself, but from the will of the super rich to snatch an opportunity to bring people in line. Gerhard Ludwig Mueller said in an interview with Austria's St. Boniface Institute last week. He is a high-ranking judge at the Vatican Court. Now, this guy, I mean, being in Austria, I mean, you're like at the epicenter of Europe, of European tyranny, you know, when you're in Austria. You know, I mean, we've all seen what was the Sound of Music. There you go. How Austria was like first in line to bend to the will of the Nazis, Hitler's Nazi Germany. And, they were, just, you know, totally enveloped in the whole movement. And so that you can see a little bit of that in that movie. But that movie was a propaganda piece. I have to say it. As much as I love the movie and as much fun as it was a propaganda piece. And some people go, what? How was it a propaganda piece? Well, it was to shed a good light on the great apostasy itself. To cast it in a good light because its place in, the tyranny of Nazi Germany was quite prominent. So, you know, needed a little bit of, propaganda. Yeah. Spin control. And so there was a lot of propaganda in that beautiful, wonderful movie, The Sound of Music. Anyway, back to the article here. The world's financial elites are now using the panic-demic and the measures governments take to fight the spread to subjugate people. Oh, it says to subject people, but I say subjugate is a better word there. People to total control and establish a global surveillance state, he added. The Boniface published a video showing The St. Boniface published a video showing a small part of the interview, and the cardinal has since confirmed to the German DPA news agency that the footage is genuine. Boy, I might want to see that footage, because as we go on, it gets even more exciting here. People who sit on the throne of their wealth. I wonder who those people could be. You know, if you wonder why. You know, the truth seems to be winning here and we're pushing back and then we take 3 steps forward. Next thing you know, we're pushed 4 steps back. For every 3 steps we take forward, billions of dollars can push you back 4 steps easily. And that's what they're doing because they have all the money. And even as the scripture says, money answers all things. And of course, we're speaking temporally here. The Bible is speaking temporally when it says money answereth all things. And it does in the world, in the temporal reality in which we live now. Money does answer all things. Yeah. Because, you know, and why when we push three steps forward with the truth, and then they hit us with billions of dollars and push us four steps back. Why, you say? Why? Why does evil seem to be winning? Why is money so powerful, even against the truth? Well, because we're in the temporal realm, and there is a God of this world. Okay? And see, the evil side, guess what they get to do? They get to lie, steal, kill, destroy, and cheat. Okay? They get to do all of those things. But guess what the good people get to do? None of those things. All our weapon, our only weapon is the truth. Yeah, and in the temporal realm, we can exercise self-defense. But there comes a point when the carnal weapons against, amassed against us are so strong that self-defense becomes futile. And that's the point at which you become a martyr. And you surrender your life, your mortal existence. But see, that's okay. Had one guy I was telling, there is no pre-trib rapture, and he says, well, that's likened to a man allowing other men to beat up his wife. He goes, that's kind of an accusation against Jesus. There better be a pre-tribulation rapture because Jesus would let other men beat up his wife. I mean, has this guy read the scripture? Has he read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Has he read the history of Protestantism? Does he know about the hundreds of millions of martyrs that have laid down their lives over the last 2,000 years? Obviously not. Would Jesus allow us to suffer? You know, since we are the bride of Christ, that's where he gets this idea. We're the bride of Christ, and God would never allow his bride to be ravished by another man. He's trying to take something spiritual and put it in temporal terms. But in temporal terms, yes, we may be required. Our Lord and Master may be required, may require of us individually to lay down our lives. When we can't flee, when we can't exercise self-defense because it's futile, because the forces amassed against us on this temporal realm, the arms of this world, the money power of this world amassed against us is so strong that it becomes futile, then we lay down our lives for the gospel. And we do it with joy so that they can see that our faith is not in things temporal, but in things eternal. Okay, so, continuing with the article here. The German cardinal has sparked controversy by claiming that the CV pandemic has been used by the likes of George Soros, Bill Gates to create a global surveillance state. And so either this guy's ignorant, or he's knows the truth and he's deflecting. You never know. I hope he's just ignorant, because then there's a chance that he could answer the call when God says, come out of her, my people. Perhaps he'll hear the call, and or perhaps he is deflecting. The pandemic has sparked chaos and turmoil, stemming not only from the lacking knowledge about the transmissibility and danger of the V itself, but from the will of the super rich to snatch an opportunity to bring people in line, Mueller said in an interview. The world's financial elites are now using the pandemic and the measures governments take to fight the spread to subject the people to total control and establish a global surveillance state. The Saint Boniface published a video showing a small part of the interview, and the cardinal has since confirmed to the German DPA News, and they don't put a, here's a link to the interview. So I'll give you, let me copy this. I'll put it in the chat room. You can get the link to the interview there, and, you can check it out later on. But first, I guess, I have to answer a prank phone call. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Yeah. Okay. So we continue on. The cardinal then, people who sit on the throne of their wealth. There we go. Here's where we picked up. People who sit on the throne of their wealth. That's a well chosen phrase there. A very nice picture of what is going on in the world. Because billionaires rule the world now. See, because the Antichrist has made rich people, allowed people to become rich, who he wants to be able to control, that will carry out his agenda. And those that have wealth and won't carry out his agenda, well, he robs them of their wealth. And if he can't find a way to rob them of their wealth, he'll kill them. He'll supplant their family fortunes and with moles and people that he can twist to his will, because that's how the Antichrist operates. And they wrote a whole manual on how to do this like 400 or 500 years ago. Yeah, we've gone through that before here. So if you've been with me, you know what I'm talking about. If not, send me an email. Say, what shadow government manual? Can I get a copy of that from you? I can point you to at least something on it. The cardinal then accused the global financial elites of an attempt to bring forth a new man created in their own image and likeness. That's what's going on out there. I mean, if they're changing your DNA, and DNA is the instruction for life that God created, aren't they putting themselves in the place of God? Aren't they trying to create you in their own image and likeness? No, not personally. They don't want us to look. They don't care if we look like Bill Gates. They're not trying to make us look like George Soros. Okay? But see, they've created something in a lab, and they want to change us into that and see how it works out. In other words, they want to play God and see what happens if they start switching up our programming and give us new programming to inject into our bodies. Now, that's scary stuff when you think about it, but that's what the transhuman jab is all about. That's what it's all about. You think it's about something else? You're wrong. It's not about saving mankind from some flu or something or a cold. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about total control and transforming humanity into something else. And really, see, these are all puppets of Satan, the god of this world. They are all his puppets doing his will. It doesn't matter what they think in their own mind. If they're doing his will, then they are his puppets. And that's what it's really all about, destroying humanity, made in the image of God, so that they're not made in the image of God anymore. Want to mar that image and destroy the likeness of God that every man is made in. Okay, all of mankind. So he accuses them of attempting to bring forth a new man created in their own image and likeness, adding that he would not wish such a fate on himself, nor anyone else, I would add. That has nothing to do with democracy. Well, I don't know where he throws democracy in there, but whatever, dude. The former Regensburg bishop who once headed, now listen to this, he once headed the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Ah, do you know what the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is? Yeah, I learned this from Tom Fress, and he got it out of one of his many books, and I verified this is the truth. What is called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith used to be called, wait for it, the Office of the Inquisition. Ah, so this is a guy who once headed the Office of the Inquisition, also renamed the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. That does sound much better. I mean, the Office of the Inquisition got a bad name by the time the 1260 years of papal rule was over. They had to change the name of that. So they change a lot of things. They change history, and they're still at it, you know. It's like changing the definition of what a VA vax scene is, you know. And then people thinking it's the old thing, but it's the new thing. Yeah, it's the new thing. You think it's the old thing. You think it's what the word used to mean, and you still think it means, but no, it means something else. So it's not the office of the Inquisition. It's now the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And it's ominously, when you think about what that phrase means, it means pretty much the same thing. Just sounds much better, does it not? Well, the cardinal statements which only recently surfaced in the media sparked a wave of criticism from German media outlets, which quickly branded his words conspiracy theories. See, there are a few, you know, people out there. Are a few Roman Catholics out there that don't quite, they don't know what they're involved in. You can obviously see. I mean, if this guy's, otherwise this guy wouldn't be saying the things he's saying. I mean, he's alarmed at what he's seeing going on in the world because he's seeing the same things I'm seeing. His eyes are open. I think a lot of people's eyes are becoming open now. Those whose eyes, with eyes to see and ears to hear. And then there are people, they'll never see the truth. Ever, never, never, ever, ever see the truth. And those are the ones that we just have to walk away from eventually and just stop talking to them, I guess, because you go on and on and on and they just don't see it. Yeah. So the Vatican has not commented on Mueller's statements, yes, because the Vatican is saying the opposite. That's right. And those, the Antichrist and shadow government, and they're the ones who's pulling the strings of these so-called billionaires sitting on the throne of their billions and helping to rule the world, to destroy God's creation. So the Vatican has not commented on these statements. The German Bishops' Conference initially only pointed to their call to the, pointed their to their call to, on people to get, yeah, the jab. Later, the conference spokesman, Matthias Kopp, said on Twitter he was astonished by Mueller's words and added that the cardinal apparently made such statements as a private person. Yeah, see, so we know what the official word is. Now we have a rebel. That's right. Those rebellious Catholics, man. Yeah. What do you call a rebellious Catholic? Well, eventually you call him a Protestant, because he'll end up protesting against his own church. And there are a lot of people out there that are protesting against he's not my Pope, kind of like people said about Trump, he's not my president. Anyway, we'll talk more about this and other articles when we get back from these messages. So you're listening to Across the Border, a live Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator. for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. My name is Nicholas. And in this first hour, we're just going over headlines, news items. And I'm going to pick up on the article where I left off here. I believe this was it here. And we're talking about this cardinal statements, which only recently surfaced in the media. They were quickly branded as conspiracy theories. So, sounds like our cup of tea. Some experts invited by Germany's Der Spiegel magazine and other media said his words can be interpreted as a comparison between the actions of the modern government and those of the Nazis, whose crimes are thus played down. They also said the mere mention of Soros in such a context can be seen as anti-Semitic. I mean, if you simply criticize someone who happens to be Jewish, and especially if they're a billionaire with evil designs on your country, well, you're anti-Semitic. Well, I'm not anti any particular group of people myself. I'm for everybody. I want everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, regardless of their religion or credos or ethnicity, color, whatever. It doesn't matter. I want them all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I'm not anti anybody. I'm pro everybody, pro salvation. That's right. Pro life, pro salvation. And I'm talking about pro everlasting life. Yes, rather than everlasting death. So the Vatican did not comment on his statements. Matthias Kopp said on Twitter that he was astonished by Mueller's words and added that the cardinal apparently made such statements as a private person. Well, hopefully that we can all make statements as a private person. Yeah. Mueller himself told the DPA in an email that he rejects the logic under which anyone who criticizes the financial elite is automatically on the wrong side. He also once again pointed to the illegitimate influence exerted by the super-rich elites in various countries. So there you have it. an interesting article. And let's see, am I going to put a, I did say I was going to put a link to that article in the chat room here. And I will do that. I think that's it. Yes, there it is, in the chat room. You can come over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com or .net. Click on the chat button there, and hopefully it'll get you there. We changed servers, so some of our links don't work, but I'm gonna look into that today to make sure I catch up on all the final links, whether they work or not. So you might notice some things are off. But you can go to chat.firstamendmentradio.com. That'll go straight there, and you won't have any problems with it. Yes. Yeah, no sense in paying for inadequate server services. So I had to move our stuff to a different server over the last 6 months. Yeah, I'm really on top of it here. Yeah. Being my own producer and everything here, just about. The only help I have is from my daughter, who is not here right now. She went on a little trip out of town and got back at, I think, 5 a.m., so she's not up yet. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, she's 20. She's going to be 21 in next month. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. That's my baby girl. Now 21 years old. Yes, I have a granddaughter that's like 4 years older, 3 or 4 years older than her. So that's the way that works. Okay, what else do we got here? Let's see, what else do we have? I chose another article. Oh, what they're not telling you about the transhuman jab, hospitalizations and deaths, and what you can do about it. I found this article. I don't really want to talk much about it, but this is about something called a megavirus, and it's called megalo. Where can I find that word here? The ubiquitous but overlooked, and it's mega size. It's cytomegalovirus. That's it, and it always accompanies death. With other viruses, especially in people that are old, like me, okay? Or like you, if you're my age, or older than me, okay? And I found this an interesting virus, but I mean, interesting article. And this is from Bill Sardi. So if you know much about what's going on and what authors are writing, all of his stuff is excellent, and it's all referenced in everything. So this guy knows what he's talking about, Dr. Bill Sardi. Anyway, the virus ends up infecting cells that look overly large, mega-sized. It's called cytocell, megalo, overly large. So cyto means cell. Megalo means overly large virus. So it's cytomegalovirus. It's unique to humans, not animals. Interesting. There is no cure for it, you know, but guess who's making one? Okay. And guess which vaccine maker is in stage 3 clinical trials for possibly the first, vaccine against this often quiescent virus that causes birth defects if it erupts in birthing mothers and induces death among older or immune-compromised adults. The same criminal company that makes toxic Nuremberg code violating worse than the RNA spike protein V. Yep, it's them. They're the ones who, the experimental concoction is comprised of 6 RNAs that target 2 proteins on the surface of cytomegalovirus. Doesn't it sound great? So we know how well that's working for the spike protein. Now they're going to use it on the cytomegalovirus. Okay. And it targets What is two proteins? So that means it's going to induce your body to make those two destructive proteins so that your own body will mount a defense against what it's making. I mean, when I heard that 2 years ago, I thought, well, that's not a good idea. If you get what I mean, when I heard it in the first place, I'm going, what? I mean, what kind of logic even thinks that is a good idea? Anyway, to get to the point here, to the end of the article, I'm going to jump to the end. Anyway, most people will be exposed to cytomegalovirus over their lifetime. Yeah, probably. Some seems to be part of the human condition, I have to add. You know, that you shall surely die sentence that we are all born with. Yeah, so I think in the end it's going to get us. I don't think there's any way around it, and I don't think that, you know, what's not working now very well, as far as I'm concerned, is going to work very well on the CMV, cytomegalovirus. CMV infection increases severity of illness. So you want to make sure you don't have this going on in your body if you can at all do anything about it. Doctors don't usually look for CMV infections. Yeah. Why would they look for that? And you've got a picture of it here somewhere. This is the one. Cytomegalovirus infected cells with characteristic owl eyes. Yeah. So, cytomegalovirus. That's the one. But see, that's the one that kills you. And thinking, then you can get eternal life if you get that one. But I don't know. You want your eternal life through Christ Jesus in a glorified body, or do you want one that you're just kind of, you know, keeping alive through every effort of man's non-ingenuity? Yeah. Doctors don't usually look for it. Critical T cells, white blood cells, produce long-term memory immunity. In older adults, cytomegalovirus infection is more destructive to T cell counts than aging itself. So aging, they admit, is destructive to T cell counts. And, you know, that leads to your death because you can't fight off your long-term memory immunity wanes as you get older, you know, like 70s, 80s, 90s, 100 by that time. So over a lifetime, more T cells are devoted to targeting CMV, leaving the body vulnerable to other threats. That's interesting. Speaking of aging, because that's what we're talking about, aging. Please don't ban me. Yeah, don't. I'm already shadow banned, so what does it matter? It doesn't. I've already received strikes galore. I've already got those notices on Facebook. Hey, we're going to put you on the bottom. Yeah, not as many people are going to see this. If you want to go, you sure you want to go ahead with this post? That's what they do to you. You know what I'm talking about, some of you out there. Anyway, in a study of 26 patients, ages 66 to 80 years, China virus patients with negative CMV tests upon admission to the ICU-6 developed CMV infection during mechanical ventilation. So it's something that will pop up during mechanical ventilation. That's why you say, if once they put you on one of those machines, you only have a 20% chance of surviving. So stay off of those. Cause, you know what your immediate chance of surviving jumps to. Okay. So, and ventilation lasted longer than the CMV positive in the CMV positive group. 40.5 days compared to the 18 days. 2 of 6 died in the CMV group versus none in the non-CMV group. So this is really a killer, virus. It's not catchy. You can't catch it from someone, obviously. But they want to create a cure for it regardless. And but there already is a cure for it, or at least you can do as much as you can to fend off death, you know, the death sentence you're born with. Sometimes I think, do I really want to live to be 100? Because, you meet 100-year-old people, and they're cute and everything, like little babies sometimes. But you go, do I really want to go there? I don't know. Come, Lord Jesus, please. Yes, before I have to reach 100. But nevertheless, I'll hang on as long as he wants me to. As long as I can serve him, I'm happy. If I can't serve God, my life can serve no purpose to his glory and to his kingdom, then I just as well move on. Okay, after writing this report, there are no approved miracle cures for CMV, nor are there non-problematic antiviral drugs. So, antidote, resveratrol. You know, I just added resveratrol to my regimen in the last 6 months. So, it seems that I've been doing the right things, and then I learned, hey, that is a right thing to do. This seems this antidote to everything that ails mankind is resveratrol these days. This red wine molecule is known as a powerful activator of SIRT2N1 survival gene. Resveratrol inhibits replication of cytomegalovirus in infected lung cells. Okay, well, I don't have any infected lung cells, but in case I get any, yeah. The resveratrol I'm taking daily will help. It's part of my diet. For breakfast, I have a resveratrol and other things. And a little food to help it go down. To the contrary, cytomegalovirus infection shuts off the Sirtuin gene and therefore facilitates abnormal new blood vessel growth called angiogenesis, which occurs among patients with macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and metastatic spreading cancer. So CMV infection could be very deleterious to people with these chronic or acute problems. Huh. So anyway, we get to it. What can we do? Cytomegalovirus and vitamin D. The vitamin D, sunshine vitamin, is essential nutrient hormone that tunes up the immune system. So take your vitamin D. Iron requirements for cytomegalovirus cell enlargement. Viruses are alive and must hijack and enter living cells in order to replicate. Yes, they don't have a replicating system of their own. They have to hijack in living cells in order to replicate. You should look into it. Look into what a virus is, the mechanics of it, and how it works. Very interesting. Everyone should do some research on that so you know what we're talking about. Virus is not a bug out there that's looking for a place to have babies and in your body. Now those are infections of living cells, and they're actual infectious organisms that can get in your body. And if your body's weak, then those infections will take over and start eating your body and kill you. Okay? So you want to be healthy. And so iron is a requirement. So vitamin D, iron, lysine, that's another one I take because I had cold sores, fever blisters, as they call them, which is also called the herpes virus. In the 1960s, lysine, arginine balance and control of COVID-19 and CMV. So taking lysine, I've been taking it for years and will continue. It is a very strong antiviral hormone or whatever it is. Supplement. And it wasn't until 1974 that Christopher Kagan reported that it's an amino acid, sorry, not a hormone, but an amino acid. Lysine counters the herpes replication induced by arginine. Surprisingly, 40 years later, Kagan, Karhorsky, and colleagues reported that lysine arginine balance also abolishes, guess what? Yes, the infection that is so widely spread, the one that they panicked over, yes, abolishes most viral infections, including the one that everyone is afraid of today, okay? And that's why I don't get flus and viruses and infections, because I've been taking lysine for years so that it wouldn't break out and, yeah, with that virus that causes those cold sores and fever blisters, as they call them. So given that CMV is a herpes family virus, it is also kept in a dormant state by lysine. So very good. Get your lysine, people. You can order it, find it in your local store. You can find it in a lot of places, or last resort, you can order it on Amazon, okay? And add it to your regimen, to your diet. Say, this is part of my food budget. It's not that expensive. You know, I probably spend $100 a month on supplements. And that's like, you know, probably a half to a third of my food budget per month. Yeah. Imagine that. Because that's what I consider it, food budget. People go, so expensive. My health plan won't pay for it. Well, do they pay for the rest of your food? I mean, you buy your food for nutrients. If the nutrients aren't in your food, which they aren't, I'm sorry. I mean, if I was like my horse out there grazing all day on greens in the field, you know, if God had given me a long neck that could reach the ground so I could graze like a horse, then that's what I would be doing. I would be a horse, but I'm not. And the food that I buy and is available to me, I don't think it has all the nutrients I need. So I need to supplement, you know, with my food budget and put it into supplements that will give me the nutrients that are missing. And if you got a poor diet, man, you really need to supplement. And even if you think your diet is great, you eat all organic and, you know, eat them salads every day. I'll tell you what, you can't eat enough. Because you're not a horse with a long neck spending the day grazing in the field. You know, it's just not how we are. We're not made that way. So, you know, use a little wisdom there. And that way you won't have to suffer when you get old. Because I'll tell you what, you know, I'm old, you know, but I'm not suffering. Thank God. You know, things are not working like they did 40 years ago or 20 years ago even. You know, sometimes it takes me a little bit more effort and to get going in the morning and get on my trampoline and start jogging as I watch some news programs in the morning, as my habit is, while I'm jogging in my living room to get my cardio and get all my, you know, everything working. And sometimes but I push through it, and then once I break through, I'm off to the races, and I hope I can keep doing that as long as I'm here and I can serve God. Okay, so while no medication has been authorized for the control of cytomegalovirus, other than problematic and often ineffective antiviral drugs, this well-established science points suggests both the panic-demic sickness and CMV would be quelled with a simple, not inexpensive amino acid. So I can testify that I can't say that that's the reason I haven't got sick in years, but I could say I have been doing this for years and have not got sick, okay? I can't guarantee anything. But it's likely you'll have the same result. Dietary control would also be of importance. Preference of lysine-rich foods, cheese, eggs, chicken, and I do eat those. Not as much chicken as I used to, but I should start raising chickens to eat. The avoidance of arginine-rich foods such as chocolate, nuts, seeds, and spinach. I do eat nuts and seeds. Yeah, but I don't eat much spinach, so I don't know. There's a balance there, I guess, you have to have in those things. Would be preventative, but take the action and try to, you know, I try to let my food be my medicine. As I've told you a few years ago, I had a autoimmune reaction to some antibiotics I took, and I know that I suffered a little bit of kidney damage, but it seems I'm beyond it now. I'm not sure the damage. I'm not sure if there's scar tissue because I can't see inside what's going on, but I know the discomfort is gone. And I learned that peanuts what is those berries that they use? That juice. Ah, I can't think of it. Having a teenage moment here. But, you know, kind of try to let you find out what foods are good, and you take a balance of those foods to try to heal yourself. And I can say it works, you know, and that's what we need to apply wisdom in that area. So you have this article here. Let me put this link in the chat room in case you don't have it. Or you can go to lourockwell.com and look up the Bill Sardi articles there and check it out. But at the bottom, he says a suggestion for action, and that's just to live today. And especially if someone's taken and their body is producing spike proteins because they've had instructions written into their body, the application of this may be helpful, I believe, from, you know, just the logic that works in my own mind is saying, well, spike proteins and the viruses and everything that is killing these people, there might be help here into reversing some of that damage. Because I think a lot of people are going, or a lot of people have been injected against their will, or your children have been injected against their will. You need to start this regimen right away and look for other regimens that are, that may do some good. Anyway, I'm going into a break, so we'll come back in a few minutes. If that's you on the phone, try calling me back in 7 minutes. Okay. I have some news and such, and we will be back. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the 7-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Good to see you all here. We got moved to a new server, and I've been moving over 6 months to a new server, and I have to tell you, I'm not very good at some things because it seems that our final move, we get finally shut off the old server, And some things don't work quite right. So now I'm learning about them now. So I kind of sabotaged my own program by not checking everything out yesterday to make sure everything worked. I had to fix some things this morning, some links and stuff that don't work right. So anyone who's listening, you can come over to chat.firstamendmentradio.com. That's the new home for the chat room. Because the old one's gone for good. So it's chat.firstamendmentradio.com. And you'll find everything works there. Some of the pictures might not work on some of the pages, but everything will work from that chat page. And you can join the conversation. So there it is. And I will have all of these things fixed by next week. Anyway, we were discussing an article. We were talking about the cytomegalovirus, the CMV, and how it kind of joins in when people are sick and helps to bring them to their demise, the cytomegalovirus, and some suggestions for action. And I've been taking these supplements, lysine I've been taking for 20 years, okay? I've been taking lysine, essential fatty acids, and longevity, now called Youngevity, which I don't really care for the name change, but whatever. They have their, what they call the, classic, their ultimate classic, which is 90 essential minerals and vitamins. And then they add a few things to that too. So this stuff is pretty power packed. It's about $50 for a quart of this stuff. And, you take it over a month. Okay. And, a bottle usually lasts me more than a month because I'm not that religious. Meaning that I might take it once a day instead of twice a day. And so you can see that it'll last me up to 2 months, for that same bottle. But I add to that essential fatty acids, the lysine, and now the resveratrol. And then I take some MSM, with glucosamine for my joints and stuff. And also take, probiotics. So I add probiotics. So I've got a few things I add in there, and I try to do it all at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. And sometimes then I'll miss a whole day. So, you know, but the thing is, it's getting in there most of the time. That's the thing, is I'm getting my body is getting the nutrients it needs. And so that's always there. Like I said, I'm not religious. If I'm out of town or something or whatever, I might miss a day, or I might just, you know, forget about it for a day for some reason, be engaged in something else. But then I usually do though, at least once a day and sometimes twice a day, get those nutrients, in with my diet. And I always take them with food because that's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to get your nutrients for your food. And so I think it's better to do it naturally and take your nutrients with food. That way your body's doing what it's supposed to be doing, getting the nutrients out of the food. And then I consider it part of my food diet. So if I spend $100 a month, you know, on dietary supplements, I just consider it part of my food budget. Very important, because if you're eating food that has no nutrients in it, then why are you wasting your money? You know? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I put that link to the article there in the chat room. You can see it under Far Studio. That's me, First Amendment Radio Studio. That's where I'm at. You can see my green screen in the back. If I put my hand up against it, you can see the green reflecting off of my hand. Isn't that interesting? But now you don't want to see what's behind me. It's a mess. No, it's just a door and cabinets and stuff. Yeah. So this works much better because I can put, you know, oops, over here. Stuff. You can see what's on the screen in front of me over here behind me. Yeah. My own producer. Yes, we got it down to a science here. Anyway, great article by Bill Sardi there. If you're old or you want to get old, And I'd say at least, you know, start supplementing in your 40s, because that's where things can start going downhill, because, you know, that's probably 40. If you live to be 80, then 40 is the peak. You know, I kind of think of my 40s and my 50s as a plateau, not downhill. Yeah, but you get up here in your late 60s, and then you go, well, I think I'm declining now. I'm leaving the plateau. Not very quickly, but I'm leaving the plateau behind. There's just, you can't, you know, we shall surely die. It's speaking of our mortal flesh. That's the death sentence we're born with. So we're on our way. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? Let me check out the chat room. Good to see you there, Dale. And you in the chat room, you can change you to your name. Whoever you are says, greeting in Jesus' name, y'all. So I say greetings back, you, and you can change your name so that we can call you something besides you. Hey, you. YouTube would not play for me. Oh, really? YouTube's not playing for me? Let me check out the YouTube player over here. Oh, the YouTube player's playing for me, because I played it, and it started playing. It's in the right-hand column there. It's playing the news, but, yeah, it's a little behind. I wonder why it's playing the news. Will it catch up? Oh, that's right. It pauses on YouTube. So you have to reload the page if you want to start out where you currently are on a YouTube player, because when you stop it, it pauses it and picks it back up where you left off. So it's a thing about YouTube. Yeah. Okay, what else do we got? I look at blood samples at times under a microscope. Good nutrition is best. Hope, high fiber, omegas, probiotics, enzymes. There you go. Yeah, that's what I say. The enzymes, the probiotics, the omegas, essential fatty acids, got to have all those things, especially if I'm going to keep writing books and keep talking for when I come on this program for 2 hours a week. Okay, we got to jump to something else because that article is done. And let's see, I had another article. Oh, we did the Vatican court judge article. We did that one. What else do we have? Comments, questions. Let me check out my, let's see. This I found interesting. Well, jumping to economic type things and, what's going on currently. This is from Sovereign Man. Elon Musk didn't have a care in the world last week as he hilariously mocked questions in a live interview with the Wall Street Journal. The journal's reporters had essentially prepared a number of softball questions designed for Elon to praise the U.S. government's new Build Back Better.
Yes, children, we're going to build back better. Oh, build back better. Woo.
How old do they think we are? Yeah, well, they must think we have the mentality of, say, the old man pretending to be president. Anyway, the government's new Build Back Better bill. If you haven't heard, the legislation contains a number of provisions which should greatly benefit Tesla, including major subsidies to build electric vehicles, charging stations across the U.S. But Elon had no interest in the puff piece. Unnecessary, he interjected when the reporter started to ask what he thought of the subsidies. Do we need support for gas stations? We don't. So there's no need for support for a charging network. I'd delete it. Delete, said Elon Musk. This left the reporter flummoxed. How could Elon possibly not be excited about free government money that would support his business? But Elon's point seemed completely lost on her. Seriously, we shouldn't pass it, Elon continued, almost exasperated. If we don't cut government spending, something really bad is going to happen. Huh, see, a little logic come out of Elon Musk's mouth there. This is crazy. Our spending is so far in excess of revenue, it's insane. You could zero out all billionaires in the country. That means take the money of all the billionaires and pay off the debt, and you still wouldn't solve the deficit. So even the billionaires don't have enough money to pay the debt. Okay, that's what he's saying there. So, and he's right, yeah, because they only have billions. The debt is trillions, okay? So the reporter said, well, let's change the subject. If I can't get the response I want here, maybe if we change the subject, we'll get a response I want. You know how the mainstream media is. Elon then sounded off on issues like the rise of China and corresponding decline of the U.S. He also called declining birth rates one of the biggest risks to civilization, and he's right, and they are going to decline precipitously after what they have done, yeah, because the population control agenda seems to roll on regardless. It's rolling on, gaining speed. Like I said, we push three steps back on the New World Order, and then they push four steps forward. And that's the way it's going. So we keep losing one step with every push and pushback. Okay. Now Elon Musk is a famously eccentric character. But another more traditional billionaire is also on board with his ethos. Ray Dalio founded and runs the largest hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater Associates. He's been very vocal over the past several years about the pathetic state of U.S. government finances and obvious shift of wealth and power away from the U.S. For example, last year he published an article which asked, why in the world would you own bonds? Speaking of U.S. Treasury bonds. Okay. Dalio points out that buying U.S. Treasury bonds, which is tantamount to loaning money to the federal government, used to be a good investment back when America was actually creditworthy. But now when you buy bonds, you're loaning money to the largest debtor that has ever existed in the history of the world, and in exchange you are receiving a return that is well below the rate of inflation. Yeah, that's a little logic for you. I'd pay attention to what these guys are saying here. Dalio points out that people still value U.S. government bonds because of the exorbitant privilege the U.S. has had being the world's leading reserve currency, which has allowed the U.S. to overborrow for decades. That's a major theme in Dalio's new book, Principles for Dealing with Changing World Order, Why Nations Succeed and Fail. Dalio's made it his life's work to understand debt and political cycles in order to foresee risks that others miss and better serve his clients. He makes a lot of the same assertions that Elon makes. For example, Dalio explains that economies, governments, civilizations move in cycles, and in simple terms, there are good parts of the cycle and there are bad parts. The good parts of the cycle is characterized by peace, prosperity, and production. The bad part includes recession, depression, inflation, social conflict, and war. If you think about U.S. history, we can see that the 1920s were a good part of the cycle. The 1930s and 40s were bad. The Great Depression, World War II, etc. Then the 50s and early 60s were good again. The late 60s through the 80s were bad, marked by extreme social turmoil, geopolitical conflict, and stagflation. The mid-1990s through the mid-10s were generally quite good, especially from an economic perspective. Now we seem to be in a transition once again to a bad part of the cycle, social conflict, inflation, geopolitical tensions, and more. Dalio's book, which I highly recommend reading, lays out a very clear case of what is happening right now and why. His ideas are quite similar to much of what we have been writing about he goes on. He suggests the same solutions that we've discussed in these pages. So anyway, you got it. Mindset is also key, he says. There's no reason to panic. The world is not coming to an end, but is changing rapidly. And anyway, if you can read the rest of the article, if you're subscribed to Sovereign Man, and that is sovereignman.com, you can check it out for yourself. But usually a lot of good articles and a lot of advice for people that have a lot of money, which I don't. So, but I still like some of the nonsense sense that can be glean from these articles. And if you have a lot of money and you want to know, it's probably a good resource for people that have a lot of money. I'm not one of those, but yes. But I have something way more important than that. That's the treasure that goes beyond the grave. And that's where I want to invest my time and my resources. And by the way, speaking of time and resources and investing, if you're not investing in God's kingdom, I suggest you invest. And perhaps you could invest in supporting the work that we do here and add your labor to ours. And that we can reach people with what we're doing here at firstamendmentradio.net.com. We run 24/7 audio stream, video streams, and have good theological and prophetic teaching here, as well as some common sense current events shows, which are new every day. So a good place to listen. You can also listen to First Amendment Radio 24/7 on our Prophecy Reality News app. Just upped it for another year on your Android product. And that's what I do on my stupid phone. I use it to listen to First Amendment Radio because there's some shows I want to hear. That's why they're on First Amendment Radio, because I want to hear them. Yeah, if you haven't figured that one out. Plus, I believe that they edify me and keep me theologically and prophetically on top of the game here that's going on out here in the world. So if you want to give, go to our giving page. We prefer checks every month. Because we don't trust the system, and we know that there is a day coming when we may be excluded from all banking and financial systems. So checks for right now would be great. So you can go to our what is that button that you have to push there on the chat page? Oh, support. That's right, and it goes to support.firstamendmentradio. Ooh, let me see if that one works, because it says .net. Put .com in there if it doesn't work in .net. Let me see if it works. It says site can't be reached. So it has to be .com. Let me change the .net to .com for today. I'm going to get all this fixed and see if that works. Oh, that doesn't work either. Oh, our most important page doesn't work. Just kidding. But I will fix that. Yes, I have sabotaged myself anyway, because I switched from firstamendmentradio.net as our main page to .com on the new server, and everything was working until we finally had to let go because our time came up on the server that gave us too many problems. Because I contacted the server people. It's AVA host, in case anyone wants to know. Don't go there. I don't know why. You know, because I told them, look, the AW stats and the stats are not working. And they said, oh, yeah, they're not working. And they never fixed it. And they just said, we might not fix that. And we might just kind of like stonewalled me on fixing the problems and things going wrong with the server. What? I'm paying these people and they don't seem to care if things are working or not. I'm out of here. So, anyway, I'll get all these things fixed today. My new job. I don't like that kind of work. But, hey, somebody's got to do it. I don't have a web person because I can't afford one. Honestly, I don't want millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in a year or a month. I don't want to deal with it, you know. Money is... You know, money may answer everything, but it also, it brings a lot of problems with it, too. Yeah, so there you go. I'm not very business-minded, I have to say, but you can support us. And there's got to be a way you can support us. But anyway, I'll get that fixed. So if you're looking to support us... We'll get the support button fixed there. Yeah. Like I said, the most important button there is on First Amendment Radio. Okay, what else have we got? You got some splaining to do. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Ricky. Let's see. So things are going to get worse. Yeah, I'm afraid they are. You know, as far as temporally, things are getting worse. But that doesn't mean we stop fighting, because we fight, we resist. We resist to blood, man. You know, resist to the stake if we have to. We resist. That's the task set before us. Resist and serve God and His kingdom until the very end. Until the sweet end, you know, when you're burning at the stake if need be, or they're lopping your head off on our guillotine. Yeah, whatever. And you're praising God. and singing glory to His name. Yeah, Dale, no 501c3 here, sorry. Yeah, I didn't want to play that game back in 1980s when I looked into it. Cause I felt the call to ministry then. And ask some advice from some of the elders at the church where I was attending. They said, oh, well, you need to talk to a lawyer and set up a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation. I said, oh, I do. So I talked to a lawyer and I figured out, well, I don't have money to do that. So I got me a NOLO press book because we didn't have the internet then. If you can imagine that, youngsters, we had no internet at the end of the 1980s and early 90s. We had no internet. So I had to buy a book. So I got the NOLO catalog and I sent them a check, and they sent me a book on how to set up your own not-for-profit 501c3. And what I read blew my mind. And I thought, how could a Christian do this? This goes against what I believe, because I had read the Bible. You know, maybe some of those other guys didn't read the Bible before, and they read the 501c3 stuff. No, they didn't read anything. They just let a lawyer handle it for them, so they didn't have to deal with it. But I read the law, and I read what was required, and I realized that everything I did, I wouldn't be storing up treasures in heaven. I would be storing up treasures for the state, because the state is the prime holder of whatever property that the 501c3 has, because if you violate your agreement with them, they can take all the property and give it to a 501c3 that will keep the agreement that you make with the state. So 501c3, bad. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history.
In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. No topic today. Comments, questions. We're talking about the 501c3 when I left and how back in the 80s I learned all about it and I learned I couldn't do that. So have never been able to do that till today. I really don't talk about it with people that are in 501c3 churches because they have no idea what you're talking about. And they always get defensive. Scatter cheap. Good to see you in the room. You figure out how this new chat works. Great. It'll save those settings and next week it should show up the same for you. At least that's the way mine works. But yeah, well, now I don't have to say, hey, you anymore. Scattered sheep from, Louisiana. What a place. I don't know. Have I been to Louisiana? Probably. I probably at least drove through it. We'll see. Okay. Next. What do we have next? Oh, yeah. I did have some, I was having a conversation with some people on YouTube. They got these groups here, Eschatology End Times Study. So I get in there and engage, you know, get out my sword. and they get out something else because it's not the Word of God. But they get out the Word of God and then they read things in it that aren't there. And so I engage this guy. He even wrote a book. His name's James C. Morris. And he says, I'm talking to him. But first he says to me, and I won't go through the whole thing, but basically I get down to it. I say, after the, because he says that all of the things that were supposed to happen in the 70 weeks didn't happen. And then because he brings forth the desolation, because it's in the text that the desolation will come. And I point out, I tell him that says that after, it says after the 69 weeks includes, because he says, and the text clearly states the two things that were to happen after the 69 weeks, they didn't happen, because he thinks that they, he says, that's why every Christian we know who wrote about this prophecy soon enough at that time personally know the dates thought to be the fulfillment of the 70th week was delayed. because those things didn't happen. But he's mistaken, because I answer him back, I say, after the 69 weeks always means after. So anything stated to be after does not confine it to the 70th week. 70 AD was after the 69th week. That which was confined to the 70 weeks are enumerated in verse 24. There were six things that would have to happen within the 490 years by the time the 70 weeks was over. Okay? And they did happen by 34 AD. All of those six things happen by the end of the 70th week. Okay? But the things that says, there are several things that says after the 69 weeks, which means everything afterwards. And he said, he's trying to say that they, because that didn't happen in the 70s weeks, then it must be that the 70th week is delayed. So that's the only thing he has, is by his own logic, and it's misplaced logic. He's misreading the text. Although I genuinely believe that a lot of these people mistake that, because it's what I thought too when I read it, you know, before I really read it, realized that it says what it says and it doesn't mean something other than what it says, okay? And so I tell him this, I say, and still, because this is after all of this, and I have to keep coming back to this here, because they always want to deflect and get away from it, change the topic, but they'll never answer this here. And still you refuse to verify that which I pleaded for. As to the text, it certainly does not say, insert gap here, or the 70th week will be delayed either. So please, 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 I say please three times, and here I'm repeating the whole thing again, please give me scripture and verse where the authority to insert a gap comes from. If you want to help me see the truth as you see it, I must be able to defend it by explicit scripture alone. And there's no comeback. They don't come back. Yeah. That's it. They leave it unanswered. And this is the weakness of their argument. This is the Achilles heel of the juxtaposed 70th week, of the 7-year tribulation deception. This is the Achilles heel of it. They refuse, they will not answer it. But I'm trying, you know, I don't care that they can answer it or not. I want them to ask the question. I want them to read the question, and I want them to try to answer it. And when they can't, they deflect. And they go to something else. Because that's exactly what he did. Every time I asked it, well, he deflected. You know, he says, as I pointed out before, the text simply does not even so much as imply that the 70 weeks are contiguous. That is a total assumption. We'd go, what? It says 70 weeks are determined. How could it imply anything other than a contiguous 70 weeks? See, this people have blinders on, and all they see is what they see. And this guy already wrote a book, and he probably doesn't want to. He wrote a book, it can't be wrong. You know, I'd withdraw my book and write a new edition, and I would write, I was wrong. That's what I would do. You know, I wouldn't stick to an untruth because, and leaving a question out there, that I cannot answer. I would have to say, I cannot answer this. And then I gave him a picture of my chart here, which lays out exactly what is written. Okay, 7 weeks, 3 score 2 weeks, and then the week, which is only referred to as the week. The last and final week is only referred to as the week in the text. So we'll call it the 70th week because that's what it is. Your name and where you're calling from? Gee, I was actually hoping that someone was going to speak. Someone did call at the end of the first hour, and I believe it was Mike or Bill. I thought it was Mike from Ohio. Yeah, I think it was Mike from Ohio. Still doesn't look like he's got into the chat room. I have Dale, Scattered Sheep, and Steve and Ellie are there. And so I guess my self-sabotage today, Jace is in the chat room, has left a lot of people out from the program today, but they'll all catch up on the post later on when I post the program. Does it work? Yeah, let me see. Maybe that's what he was saying, is that it's not working, the post here. Let me see if this works. Oh yeah, that works fine. So it does work from my website, so that works there. So I know people can listen. And if we listen to First Amendment Radio over here, does that work?
Final week is all there.
Yeah, that all seems to be working. So there's really no excuses. If you're subscribed to my website, you can listen from the website there, and maybe and chat. And there's a link there to chat.firstamendmentradio.com underneath that. So does that work? Yeah, that even works. So at least there's enough stuff there that works. So I don't know what's wrong with you guys, man. I thought I was a bad producer. Well, I have to say I'm probably not a very good producer. To be a self-producer is kind of like they say being your own lawyer. Only I think it's better to be to represent yourself, because you can't be your own lawyer. And you can't represent yourself. You can only be yourself. So you can't re-present yourself. I'm representing myself. Here I am. Let me re-present. No, you can present yourself, but you can't represent yourself. How about that? Stick that in your legal pipe and smoke it. Okay, now I'm just having too much fun here. Let me see what else I got. Having too much fun is headed. Okay, yeah, so I was talking about that anyway. Finding thing in the Bible. So my challenge stands there. My challenge is for anyone to show me in the Bible let me close that and go back to my statement here. What I say to this dude, where is that at? Okay, and still you refuse, because it comes back to this and all of this, and I still can't get an answer from anybody. And I've been asking it since I put up my video, show me the gap, Chuck. You know, I think Chuck's gone to the graves and without showing me the gap. Or is he still hanging on, Chuck? I mean, I don't wish Chuck bad or ill or anything. I hope to see him in the resurrection, and then he's going to go, man, I should have answered your video. Sorry, man. Sorry I ignored it, because I'm sure he saw it, because it's been out there for, you know, almost 10 years. So back when he had a little more vitality than he had, I'm sure that someone pointed out to him, show me the gap, Chuck. Yeah, that video is still on YouTube. How about that? You can look it up. Show me the gap, Chuck. And he's never answered it. Yeah, it's the same question here that I'm still asking. And you know, hundreds of thousands of people have probably seen the question or watched the video, but nobody's come up with an answer yet. So they refuse that which I plead for. The text, it certainly doesn't say insert gap here. They act like it does. They see a gap somehow. Or the 70 weeks are determined for Israel, but the 70th week will come after several thousand years. So, you know, it doesn't say that. You know, it doesn't say insert an undetermined gap of time here. It doesn't say that either. There's nothing. Zip, zilch, crickets, man, nothing. So I plead, please, please give me a scripture and verse where the authority to insert a gap comes from. If you want to help me see the truth as you see it, this is my standard. I must be able to defend it by explicit scripture alone. Otherwise, you got nothing. And that's the same thing with the A. Mill amillennials out there. They got nothing. You know, they're doing the same thing that the dispensationalists and the pre-trib people are doing, or pre-trib are doing. Because you can be, I guess you can be pre-trib and not dispensational, like John MacArthur. He's pre-trib but not dispensational. But he hasn't shown me the gap either, so, because you have to have a gap in order to throw off the 70, because without the 70th week out there in the future, you have nothing to be pre-trib to. So, I call it the 7-year tribulation deception. That seems the whole world is, but that doesn't mean, if you believe in it, doesn't mean you're going to hell. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say that because it's not up to me. It's up to, you know, Jesus, whether you're his or not. I don't know. I hope you are. Dale says, I'm listening on Odyssey. Ah, yeah, you can watch on, you can actually see me on Odyssey, right? I think it's a guy named JG was illegal for the Jews to read, back down. Ah, yeah. Well, yeah, they hated that, man. You know, I also have a chart that says, that shows the deleted years. Yeah. You couldn't read Daniel chapter 9 because it was 69 weeks unto Messiah. And that's the other thing that the pre-tribbers do. That put off the 70th week. They robbed Jesus of his. That was his week. It was the week. You know, it doesn't say the five, it says the week in the prophecy. It's the only one it's referred to as the week. You know, in the midst of the week. It is the week. It is the Messiah's week. He is named explicitly several times and then says he. And of course, they changed that in some of the New English versions to totally obliterate the Messiah from the prophecy, to totally rip him off of his week. That was his week, the week. I mean, why would not the week that the Messiah showed up be the most important week of the 70 weeks prophecy? Why would it not be? According to the dispensationalists, it isn't. They give it to the Antichrist. Jesus is not going to show up. Until after the 70th week. But see, this was determined for Israel, the nation, the city, and the temple. Okay? 70 weeks were determined. The final and 70th week was the Messiah's week. That's the chart there. And you can find this chart somewhere on my website. If you look up, I don't know where I found this one at. This one I got from my book, I believe, from The Rapture Will Be Canceled, my first book. This is the chart I put in there. So that was 2014, so that was like 7 or 8 years ago. 7 years ago, 2014, yeah. That I put this chart out there in the 70 weeks challenge. And I challenged someone to find me the gap. Show me the gap, Chuck. And nobody to this day has stepped up to the challenge. But they just deflect, change the topic, whatever. They run away from it or they just drop off. Well, can't, but, you know. And I hope that it will for the elect. Yeah, that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth of real prophecy there. So that and other ones, you know, it's like they have other gaps. The other gap that they love is the one between the second or first century and the 21st century, because they say that the Book of Revelation overleaps. The entire 2,000 years. So, and that, if that's the truth, then the Revelation has nothing to do with first, second century Christians because, well, it was written 95 AD, so really doesn't take effect till the very end of the first century. So second century Christians, yeah. if it was going to commence shortly, as it says, which I believe it did, which they believed it did, because a lot of the expositors of the first three centuries identified themselves and what they were going through in the prophecy. How could they not? It was happening to them, right up through to about the time of Augustine. And then Augustine introduced amillennialism. But then their amillennial reign of Christ turned into a nightmare when the papacy started murdering and killing and extirpating heretics. Yeah. That's what Jesus would do. Huh. When Jesus gets in control, he's going to start killing everyone that doesn't believe. He's going to force them. And if they don't recant, then he will burn them at the stake. No, that's not Jesus, man. That's the Antichrist who did that. The man of sin who sits in the temple of God. Yeah. Yep, scattered sheep, I get it, man. Yeah. I started going to a Baptist church here. I'm not going there now. I have some difficulties with my disabled son that he needs more care now than he needed before. Not really why I want him to spend my, this part of my life taking care of he's becoming more invalid, I have to put it that way. So requiring a bit more, it's difficult. And you that have disabled family members to take care of, you know what I'm talking about. What a struggle and a trial it can be. But hey, in the resurrection, me and my son are going to really meet for the first time and be able to talk. And we're going to both be whole in the resurrection. So, he is a son of God. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. So, it's kept me away and kept me at home. So I've been watching and playing on air, Grace Church, you know, John MacArthur's church on Sunday morning. I've been enjoying that. And if there's anyone here, I make them enjoy it with me. and I could look beyond his belief in a pre-trib rapture because theologically, he is reformed and very sound. And he's 80 plus years old. And so I really admire what he has been able to do and to maintain with his walk with God without stumbling into error like so many others do with all of the temptations. I can't even imagine the temptations that man has gone through to stand where he stands today. So I do admire John MacArthur in many ways, even if he is eschatologically in error with the pre-trib rapture. Yeah. I sent him a copy of my book. Yeah. What can I say? I've even mentioned him in my Reformed prophecy interpretation. Yeah. But anyway, there's something more important than being eschatologically correct is being theologically correct. Absolutely. But, and it doesn't seem, he still seems to be on the right track, you know, with his church standing up against the Antichrist governor of the state of California. Yeah. Gotta give him, his kudos for that. He's one of the loudest out there, standing up against it. And he has the power to do it too with, you know, the 6,000-7,000 people attending there every week. Yeah. Okay. What else? Let me check the chat room here. Wonderful comment in Geneva that God was 7 times more merciful than the 70 years captivity in Babylonia. Yeah, that's a great comment there. That is a wonderful comment from the 1560 Geneva there about time in the chat room. Yes, where I went, the pastor quipped, the Prince of Darkness. I found the, Scatter Chief says about 2 years later I found First Amendment Radio. Well, I'm glad you did. Glad we were here. We were here to, be there for you. That's why we're here. So no longer left. My ex-pastor said the Antichrist, he is the Antichrist. And, regardless of the fact that the Antichrist is not even mentioned in the scripture anywhere, and they rob the people of the prince that shall come, that noun phrase, because that's what it is, a noun phrase. They rob the prince from the noun phrase, the people of the prince that shall come, and the noun phrase refers to the people and not the prince. The prince is part of the explanation of who the people are of the phrase being used. So, anyway, we are out of time. So I want to thank you all for joining me this morning, and I hope this has been edifying and educational and helps you in your walk and in your stand for Christ. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life.